From the Main Street Mug Studios, high atop Red Mountain in Birmingham, Alabama, to computers all around the world via the World Wide Web, Main Street Mugs Live is on the air. To be a part of the show, call in now, 407-499-4335. Again, that's 407-499-4335. The phone lines are open, and we're waiting for your call. Or chat live in the chat room at mainstreetmugslive.blogspot.com. And now, get ready for the most interactive Disney show on the net. Here's Mike Miller and Glenn Watts, the Main Street Mugs.
Thank you very much, Mr. J. Michaels, our announcer guy. Welcome into Main Street Mugs Live. It is the April 27th edition of the show. Mike Miller broadcasting live from Main Street Mugs Central, the studios high atop Red Mountain here in Birmingham, Alabama. My co-host, Mr. Glenn Watts, broadcasting from Boca Raton, Florida. He'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. And as Jay says every single week, and we always like to remind you, we are the most interactive Disney show on the net. We are. I mean, it's undeniable. But we can't be that way, guys. And what keeps us the most interactive show on the net are you guys. We have a job to do. Your job is to interact with us, and it's very simple for you to do that. A couple of ways. The simplest way, simply to call us, 407-499-4335. That is our call-in line. It is hot all night long, 407-499-4335, or chat live with us in the chat room. And it's simple to get there. If you're listening on Ustream and you don't see a chat anywhere, that's because you're probably not on our actual website. You're just listening on the Ustream page, and that's cool. But if you want to be able to chat with us, which is a lot of fun, you can chat with all the other listeners, and it's just a lot of fun. And of course, Glenn and myself hang out in the chat room as well. To get to that chat room, you need to go to mainstreetmugslive.blogspot.com. Once again, mainstreetmugslive.blogspot.com. And speaking of the chat room, let's wow, okay, that's shocking. they called me off guard. Let's run down who all we have in the chat room tonight. We have C. Miller, Pampered Chef, which I'm wondering how in the world she's on the computer right now because our internet at the house is down. But I'm glad she's here. It's my wife, and I'm glad to see her back. We have C. Miller, Pampered Chef. We also have, of course, Glenn Watts. He's moderating tonight, myself. We have Becky, who is also known as Rentst in the room, of a couple anonymous users, 1068. And 0660, I believe. So welcome to everyone who is listening tonight and hanging out in the chat room with us. So tonight, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. It's going to be a jam-packed show. And, you know, we've got several topics on the show tonight. It's going to run the gamut. During our first segment of the show, we'll discuss the other parks at Walt Disney World. Now, I'm talking about the water parks, Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon. We'll also talk about Disney's two mini golf courses and the difficulty of playing these courses, hazards and all. Amy Sinclair from Ears of Experience, our travel girl, will join us for a fun segment we call What's in Your Bag? Amy and Glenn will each pick a virtual bag for a day's trip at Walt Disney World, and they'll take turns packing it. We'll listen as they tell us what's in their bag. And on the heels of Earth Day as well, we'll talk about the ways Disney is involved in conservation efforts. But, before I can continue tonight, I must bring in my friend, my pal, and the co-host of Main Street Mugs Live. He's a conservation hero in his own right, saving animals from sure death. He's earned the title of Birdman, and he'll explain that. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and move to the beat as we welcome Mr. Glenn Watts.
Good evening, Mr. Miller.
Glenn, get him up.
All right. There you go. Come on, you guys in the back.
Sing along, here we go. With a brand new dance, and it's called the bird. You don't need no finesse or no personality. You just need two arms and an attitude. I want to see you doing the bird tonight. Here we go.
Oh my God. Come on, y'all. Spark! Hallelujah. Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, come on. Spark! Hallelujah. Yes. Whoa, whoa. That's there you good. Go.
That's fantastic. Good evening, Mr. Miller. Good. Great intro song. You know, that brought me back to the 80s. And for those of our listeners who aren't aware, that that was a theme song to a wrestler named Coco Beware.
Yeah.
That was his entrance music. And that's kind of interesting because, yeah, I had a great moment in Glenn history this week.
Okay.
You know, it's oftentimes, you know, you read the newspaper and it's all bad news. It's all bad, bad, bad. So here's how this went. On Saturday, I was working and I had to take the dogs out. I was in the backyard and I looked around the corner and saw this little grayish mass on concrete where I was like, what is that? I was thinking, oh no, oh no, he's not with us anymore. And there was a little baby bird. I mean, he was just a hatchling. And ironically enough, his egg had fallen out of the nest as well, right, just a few, like maybe a foot away from him. And I went over and touched him, and lo and behold, he'd fallen like 6 feet, but he was still alive, and his you know, all the twigs. I call him Twigs because of his talons. His little legs are just kind of weird. He's a starling, by the way. And so I immediately went into defense mode. You know, I took him in and got him some water. He did not like that at all. And I immediately called the Broward County the animal care center. That's the 24-hour. And they said, okay, well, where is he? I'm like, he's inside. He's cool now. And they're like, no, he needs to be warm. So strike one.
Oh no!
So I'd already made a first mistake, and then I put him in. I put him in a bowl and put a towel down, and I called him back. I said, "Well, what can I do besides drop him off at your location?"
Yeah.
They said, "Well, you need to reintroduce him to the nest." I'm like, "Oh, that doesn't sound like fun at all." Okay, so this is where it got really weird, Michael. I donned. Susan got home.
Yeah.
And helped me with setting up because we had to get a ladder up to get up to where the nest was.
Right.
And I donned a hat, glasses, long sleeve shirt. It's like 90 degrees down here. I had every protection on I could afford myself. And we reunited him with his mother in the nest. Aww. Well, she wasn't there, thank goodness. And everything was good. And he's I hear him chirping during the day, and I see Aww. His mother bringing him worms. And so it's fantastic. So we win one.
So we have like, I mean, is it official now? We have like a Main Street Mugs mascot.
Yeah, I think Twigs is pretty cool. I think
Twigs is a bird.
In fact, I may post a picture of Twigs. He's not the most handsome guy in the world.
and
ironically enough, he has more hair than I do. And he's only like 6 days old. So what's up with that? But he's so ugly, he's cute.
You conservation hero, you.
I'm doing my part little by little.
Right. Saving the world one bird at a time.
One bird at a time.
That's right.
Well, thanks for allowing me to share that with our audience. That was really a good.
It was
a good story for me that he survived and he's happy and mom still likes him even though I touched him a little bit. And so it's pretty cool.
And we'll talk about, like we said, we'll talk about some conservation things a little bit later in the show tonight and how Disney is all big into conservation. And when we started doing research for this, I was like, wow, these guys are really big into conservation. So we'll talk about that. Of course, your phone call is part of it tonight, 407-499-4335. Also a part of the show tonight, as it is every week, it's the critique of the week. And what choices do we have tonight, Glenn?
All right, tonight we have five choices: the sum of all thrills at Epcot, the Disney monorail system, the Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios, the Coral Reef Restaurant at Living Seas at Epcot, and Disney's All-Star Resorts.
And we are having a little bit of trouble out of our voting platform tonight. So I tell you what, guys, just to kind of simplify it, put your vote inside of the chat room. Glenn will be keeping up with that, and he'll try to tally those throughout the night. I'll keep up with it as well. So run them down one more time because we don't have it on the website right now.
Okay. Sum of all thrills at Epcot, the Disney monorail system, the Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios, the Coral Reef Restaurant at Living Seas at Epcot, and Disney's All-Star Resort Hotels.
Okay, cool. So once again, just type your choices into the chat room here on the website, and we will go from there. So, guys, we appreciate you hanging out tonight, and of course, we will critique whatever attraction you guys vote for, whichever one gets the most votes, and we'll critique that live here on the show during the last segment. Also, every week, we bring you the hottest, the freshest, the latest Walt Disney World news. It's fastest. It is the fastest 60 seconds of Disney news on the net as we take this week's five hottest news stories and deliver them to you faster than you can get a water wedgie on Summit Plummet. 60 seconds or less. So, Glenn, are you ready?
I am ready, sir.
Fasten your seatbelts because it is time for this week's edition of The
Mickey Minute. Paperless Disney tickets, there may be an app for that. Plans from Steve Jobs, Apple founder and Disney's largest stockholder, may revolutionize the Walt Disney World experience. The patent for a new app, Concert Ticket Plus, came to light earlier this week and includes a section specifically related to theme parks. The app is centered around a new iTunes-based web service for tickets, allowing smartphone users to go paperless. Once tickets are sent to a phone, the owner can scan the device to enter the parks. If Concert Ticket Plus becomes available, it's yet another reason to invest in those backup batteries and portable chargers for smartphones.
Although it was forced to take a hit in its bottom line, Walt Disney World managed to use the global economic downturn to pull some business away from its theme park rivals. According to the 2009 attendance estimates, the Magic Kingdom remained the world's busiest theme park with 17.2 million visitors, up 1% from a year earlier. The rest of Disney World's theme parks, Epcot, Disney's Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom, each recorded slight gains of between 0.5% and 1%. On the other hand, attendance plummeted 10% at Universal Studios and over at SeaWorld. Over at SeaWorld, they were down. Islands of Adventure was down too. So Disney doing pretty good in the category there.
Right, and Disney has announced plans for its first project using the characters from its recent Marvel Entertainment acquisition. Ultimate Spider-Man will premiere a new series on Disney XD in fall 2011. The storyline will revolve around Peter Parker at high school age.
And like many others across the country, Disneyland celebrated Earth Day on April 22nd, 2010. This was the 40th anniversary of the event, and Disney decided to bring local school children in to help celebrate this year. 103rd graders from an Anaheim elementary school helped Disney horticulturists release 140,000 ladybugs into the gardens at Disney's California Adventure. They learned about how the ladybugs killed the aphids that were destroying all the plants. Ladies and gentlemen, that is this week's edition of
the Mickey Minute.
That's right. 407-499-4335. That is the number for you to call if you'd like to interact with us tonight as we, talk about the other parks at Walt Disney World. And specifically, I'm talking about the water parks and the mini golf parks. Let's call this segment, Glenn, Water Park Fun and More. Much like they call the ticket package that you can get, we'll call this segment Water Park Fun and More. So we'll start with the water parks. Let's see. You have a preference on which one you'd like to talk about first, Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach?
Let's take them in chronological order as they were built, maybe. And the first one we built was Typhoon Lagoon back in 89. That opened June the 1st, hot summer day in June of 1989. And this is a really cool, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed this particular one. Nothing against Blizzard Beach, but I like Typhoon because it has the history. And yeah. I like the theming, the whole, you know, the theming is fantastic. It's like that storm-ravaged tropical, you know, environment. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, in fact, the storyline, some people, you know, never know the storyline of these parks. So the storyline goes a little something like this. The theme of the park is Disney legend. There's a Disney legend of a typhoon that wreaked havoc upon a formerly pristine tropical paradise. Ships, fishing gear, surfboards are strewn about where the storm flung them. The centerpiece of the park, you can't miss it, is Miss Tilly. It's a shrimp boat impaled upon a mountain named Mount Mayday. And that mountain erupts a 50-foot geyser of water every half hour right before the bells of the watch sound on Miss Tilly. The park has a mascot. No, it's not Twigs. It's Laguna Gator, who is related to Blizzard Beach's mascot, Ice Gator. So they keep it in the family there. So, this was the first water park at Disney and extremely successful.
Very much so. Yeah, I mean, obviously when you build a second version of it, you know how successful you've been the first time. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there had been other water parks in the Orlando area, just to give some history. You know, as a kid growing up, I used to go to a place called Wet n Wild, which is still in operation over on the I-Drive, the International Drive corridor.
Yep.
But it pales in comparison to the attraction, you know, they are attractions here. The rides, the flumes, the lazy river, that sort of thing.
Right.
It just pales in comparison to Blizzard.
Now, I might have spoke out of school here. I said that this was the first one, but actually, wait a minute, wasn't River Country before Typhoon Lagoon?
It was. I'm speaking strictly of, yes, you're right. That was their first attempt.
Right.
So,
right.
Yes,
and
we see
what happened with that.
Yeah, and I don't want our listeners beating us up over the fact that I want to give credence to River Country because that was a great time as a kid.
Oh, it was,
But as far as the current you know, water parks, these are the two.
Right, and it's
the newest. So, yes, you're absolutely right.
So Typhoon Lagoon, it's separated into six main areas where everything is. And we'll kind of take each one of these areas one by one and tell you what each area has included in it. And the first is Mount Mayday. Mount Mayday is located behind the surf pool. Once again, it features Miss Tilly as well as many of the park's waterfalls and slides, such as Humunga Cowabunga. I love these names.
I love that one. Yeah.
This is three enclosed speed slide flumes that hurl riders downward five stories in seconds. You've got the storm slides there. These are three body slides. It's called the Jib Jammer, the Stern Burner, and the Rudder Buster.
I love them.
They send riders from a height of three stories down twisting, winding channels to a splash pool at the bottom. Then you've got Gangplank Falls. That's a family raft ride featuring large four-person inner tubes. Mayday Falls is also at Mount Mayday. That's where you have a tube slide flume with winding rough rapids. That's kind of a rough rapids feel on an inner tube. Then you've got Keyhaul Falls. That's a tube slide flume with a smoother ride, spiraling down through the waterfall in a cave. You've got the Forgotten Grotto. That's a cave walkway through Mount Mayday. And finally, in Mount Mayday, you've got Overlook Pass, which is just simply a walkway across the slope of Mount Mayday with some small waterfalls. So lots of places to get wet at Mount Mayday.
Yep. And if you don't mind, I'd like to handle the Hideaway Bay, which kind of reminds me of here being, you know, where I'm always on the beach here. So yeah. Hideaway Bay, it's a sandy beach area located behind the dressing rooms. It's hidden for the most part, and it features the newest attraction of Typhoon Lagoon. It's got two different attractions there, which is the Crush and Gusher, which kind of it's a two or three person raft that is propelled by water jets, and it's got these hairpin turns and drop offs. It's awesome.
They have
the Banana Blaster, the Coconut Crusher, and the Pineapple Plunger. And the one thing I do want to mention: some of these rides you do have to be 4 to 8 inches. They're not all. You know, there are certain height requirements, both for height up to and height under. There's one attraction here that the ride you have to be less than, I think, 60 inches. But the second part is the Sandy White Beach, which is really great for lounging.
Oh, yes.
And they have a little picnic area that you can basically rent, like a little cabana type, you know, like an umbrella setup. And it's really relaxing.
Yeah,
so,
you know, and the cool thing is about these sandy white beaches is if you're planning a trip to Disney and you're not going to have a chance to visit the beaches in Florida, then, you know, you're not at a loss. You've got the beach, you've got the sand right there. Right there.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the water's better here. You don't have to worry about, you know,
right.
Obviously it's treated. So
exactly.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah. And the sand, to be honest with you, I don't know where they get that sand, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's powdery soft. So yeah. I love it.
It almost does not get stuck in crevices. I don't know how
it does not. It almost. And I'll just say the almost part.
Almost. Right. So the next section of the park is, lives up to the namesake of the water park, Typhoon Lagoon. It's the largest section of the water park. It houses the feature attraction as well as many shaded white sandy beaches to relax and recuperate. Some of the attractions here are, nothing to sneeze at here, the world's largest outdoor wave pool called the Typhoon Lagoon Surf Pool. It alternates a 90-minute surf, 6-foot high waves, and then 30-minute high bobbing waves. This is nothing to sneeze at. In fact, we'll talk about here in a second, you can actually learn to surf in that very wave pool because it produces some amazing waves. Then you've got Bay Slides. It's a beginner slide designed to send toddlers down gentle slopes in a secluded corner of the surf pool. Bluster Bay, zero-depth entry tidal pool near the clock tower that's adjacent to the surf pool and is surrounded by a sandy beach. Whitecap Cove is another zero-depth entry tidal pool near Surf Doggies. That's adjacent to the surf pool, and that's surrounded by sandy beaches. And then, of course, you can learn to surf. That's hosted by Craig Carroll's Cocoa Beach Surf School, and it's a 2.5-hour surf lesson before the park opens in the morning. It's an additional cost, but they do provide all the needed surf gear provided. So it's not like you got to bring your Woody with you and wax it down. They've got the surfboard there, and they're going to show you how to surf in the surf pool, which is really cool.
Yeah, and if you like, you know, being on top of the water, that's great. But if you want to go under the water, the next park, the Shark Reef, might be for you.
Ooh.
And that's got two saltwater reefs, and they're separated by a tanker. So it gives you that Caribbean sea creature feel.
Yep.
Now, this is hosted by the NAUI, which is the National Association of Underwater Instructors. So you get good instruction. It's a snorkel trip, and it's in an unheated saltwater pool. And there's stingrays, bonnet heads, leopard sharks, and other tropical fish. So you get there's at least three varieties of shark in there all the time.
Very, very.
Then you have the sunken tanker, which is the underwater view of all of the reefs. and that's provided through through Tanker's portholes. You got the SAS Adventure. That's a 30-minute surface air snorkeling experience using a pony tank. So it's a small regulator. And finally, you have Hammerhead's Fred's Dive Shop, which obviously sells and rents snorkels, masks, life jackets, and unheated showers are provided.
Right, so, right, right. Very cool.
Cool little area, especially if you're into the whole wannabe Jacques Cousteau movement, so like I was when I was a kid. So I wish they'd have had this when I was a kid. I would have been there every week.
I've never done the shark reef thing, you know, and a lot of people kind of freak out about that. But these sharks are, you know, they're not, I mean, it's not like you're going to be swimming with jaws here, okay? I mean, these are.
And you know, being a Floridian, we like to go down to the Keys and visit family. And there I get to experience meeting bull sharks and bonnet heads and all those. I get to meet those guys in the wild where there's no instructor around. It's just them and me. And that's a different experience. So this is a much better experience. I think I might try this one of these days.
And also you've got Castaway Creek. And this was my wife's favorite park. And is the case with a lot of people that just want to chill out and relax, because that is where you have the continuously flowing 2,100-foot lazy river. It slowly circles the entire park, passing through gentle waterfalls, lush rainforest. Am I relaxing you yet?
There you go. And wait a minute. Do we have a pina colada in my hand? I mean, yes.
Do you like pina coladas?
Absolutely.
Getting caught in the rain?
Yeah, well, you know, you said rainforest, and immediately I'm thinking pina colada and, you know, getting caught in the rain.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And it also winds its way through Mount Mayday. Riders can float on their own or in the inner tubes provided. So you think of this as like a water metro line for the park, because here's the cool thing. You can get on or off several stations or landings convenient to various rides. So it's like once you get in the lazy river, you can just kind of float.
If you want to get off and do something else, and here's the great news about this is there's never a line here. Normally, some of these attractions, though, I'm not going to lie to you, there are some lines there, especially the Crush and Gusher and the most popular ones. Right. But this is a great experience because you just do it at your own pace and it moves you along, keeps your feet wet, keeps you nice and cool. So on a warm day, it's fantastic. Yep.
And then I guess the last part of the park is the kiddie area, and that's a lot of fun if I can talk for kids. It's called
Catch a Kitty Creek. Imagine that.
And that's just the kids' play area with all the sprayers and the water things to squirt at people and really make them mad. And It's just a lot of fun. So that's just kind of a quick rundown of Typhoon Lagoon. I love the place. It's a lot of fun. And, I look forward to going back. Now, one thing that we will talk about and you will hear is a constant theme among the water parks. And Amy will tell you the same thing. And that is, these water parks, you got to think about it. It's different from the attractions at the other four major parks, because of course you have fast pass at most of them for most attractions, and then you also have the luxury of for instance, if it's an Omni Mover or a roller coaster type ride, they can board several people at one time. Not the case with these water slides. It's one at a time. They can't let the next rider go until the other rider is completely down. So it does move slowly, and lines tend to jam up at the water parks, but it's the best time to go is get there as early as you can in the morning, or as Amy will tell you, after an afternoon rainstorm is a good time, because it believe it or not, it's like people, it's raining, I'm getting wet, let me jump up in the pool.
And just so people know where Typhoon is, it's actually on or off of Buena Vista Drive, and it's near Downtown Disney. So that's the one toward Downtown Disney on the east end of Buena Vista.
Right,
so I just want to give you the other park we're going to go to next, which is Blizzard Beach, is on the west end down near Animal Kingdom. So and the All-Stars.
And Blizzard Beach opened in 1995, April 1st of 95. It was the third Walt Disney World water park, of course, after River Country and Typhoon Lagoon. The theme of this park is Disney had a freak snowstorm in the area. That led to the construction of Florida's first ski resort. I love the storyline here. Naturally, the snow didn't last long, leaving behind a collection of waterlogged but snowless ski jumps and chairlifts. The failed resort was in the process of closing for good when an alligator was seen sliding down a flume and splashing into a pool of water, screaming, "Yahoo!" Thus, the ski resort was reborn as a water park with the alligator named Ice Gator as the mascot. So basically the theme here, snow resort melted, all the water's left over, and they got to do something with it, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and this is, I tell you what, again, the theming is fantastic. I wasn't sure about this one when they were building it. I was like, you're doing what? But it's worked. It really is a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And here, again, it's ski slope theme. So we've got three different slopes, and we'll cover them. We've got the green, the purple, and the red.
Yep.
It's a completely different theme than the other, but it's really cool. So let me see. You want me to start with green?
Yeah, go ahead. What's on
the green slope? These are all single track water slides, so they're not meant for racing. And you've got in those, you've got the Summit Plummet, which is the flagship. I mean, it's 120 feet tall. Oh, it's the one you definitely see from the road.
Water wedgie.
Water wedgie. Mm-hmm. Yep. No sand involved, but boy, it's fast. It's let's see. It was recognized by Guinness Book of World Records for being the highest and fastest until the opening of Insano, which is 135. So Insano in Brazil
beats it by 15 feet.
But hey, it's Disney World, so you know.
That's right.
We've got Team Boat Springs, which is the world's longest family whitewater raft ride.
Yes.
It's about 1,400 feet. That's really cool. And it's basically a big rubber raft, and it can hold four people, up to six, I guess.
A lot of fun for the family.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then you got the Slush Gusher, which is a 90-foot drop on a snow-baked mountain gully. And it's really – that's a lot of fun.
Right. And all of this stuff takes place on a mountain that they call Mount Gushmore, and it's really cool how they did this, because of course the mountain kind of serves dual purposes. A, it kind of plays into the whole ski resort thing, and of course provides the topography for the slides to of course go down. But all of the pipes, that's one thing you won't see here, all of the pipes that supply the water supply for all of the rides are hidden within this fake mountain. Really kind of ingenious.
I tell you what, back to the theming for a second, you know, the snow covered mountains, it's kind of like the Expedition Everest effect,
right?
It's just so different that you're like, what is that? I mean, the first time I saw it, I was like, that's really odd, but right. I kind of like it.
I mean
the theming is fantastic here.
So you've got the Purple Slope, access to the Purple Slope attractions, all of which have at least two nearly identical tracks and as such are designed for racing. These are for racing. Is from a pathway next to the catch pool of downhill double dipper. These things are full of tongue twisters, folks. Downhill Double Dipper is one of the world's only side-by-side racing slides. This is a lot of fun. If your brother or your sister or your kid's been talking smack to you, this is a place to say bring it. It's located next to Snowstormers on Mount Gushmore. This adrenaline-pumping attraction slides are 50 feet high and 230 feet long. Guests travel up to speeds of 25 miles per hour on these twin inner tubes as they race past internationally recognized ski racing graphic elements and flags. Time clocks count off each downhill heat as the runs are outfitted with automated audio equipment that signals the start of each race. Also, it's one of the few racing slides where push-off speed is not a factor, as gates hold back riders until it is time for the race to begin. It's a lot of fun and very competitive, and weight has a lot to do with bigger you are, the faster you're going to make it down the hill.
Yeah, yep. I think this is great for the tweens and for the competitive teenagers out there, and some competitive guys of my age bracket that can't stand to lose. So I think it's perfect.
Yep, absolutely. Then you've got Snowstormers. That's a mat slide. That's, you know, of course, you got to have your little mat consisting of three flumes that are 350 feet long. This attraction is between the Downhill Double Dipper and Toboggan Racers on Mount Gushmore. And this attraction descends from the top of the mountain and follows a switchback course through ski-type slalom gates. For this one, you lay on your stomach, toboggan-style mat as you ride down the flumes. It's a lot of fun. And, of course, last but not least, here on this particular slope, you've got the Toboggan Racers. This is really fun, too. It's an 8-lane, 250-foot water slide next to Snowstormers. Attraction sends guests racing over exhilarating dips as they descend the snow slope along the side of Mount Gushmore. This is not a mat ride. You lay on your stomach on the toboggan style. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I'm reading here. You do have a mat, but you lay on your tummy for this one as you kind of race up and down the dips, and that's a lot of fun there too. So lots of ways to get wet, but we're not done yet. We have another slope.
We've got the red slope, and that's got one attraction in it. That's the runoff rapids. That's a 600-foot inner tube featuring two open and one closed tube slide. So it's an inner tube. Careens down twisting, turning flumes, passing through corrugated steel pipes. Really good theming on this one, by the way.
Yep.
And the tubes are available at the bottom of the attraction. So the red slope stairs are the only way access to this attraction. So just look for it. It's kind of one of those hidden ones, so it's called the red slope. So just follow the signage. They usually mark it. Well, it's marked very well, actually.
And then once you make your way down the mountain, you're, of course, at ground level, and that's where you have a couple of cool things. You've got a wave pool there as well called Meltaway Bay. Not as big as the one at Typhoon Lagoon. You've also got the Cross Country Creek. That's the lazy river there. You've got a few other areas. You've got Ski Patrol on the ground level where you have a leisure pool, you know, just kind of what this has is has icebergs on which guests 12 and under for the kids can walk across. It's also got Fahrenheit drops. It's the T-bar that you're going to, you know, almost like a zip line. You're going to zip across it and drop into the water. You've also got freezing pipe springs. It's a short body slide. Once again, this is all at ground level. You've got cool runners. This is a wide open slide created by rapidly melting snow mounds. You've got Tyke's Peak here, which is, of course, the little kids area. You've also got, which is really, really cool, because, of course, to get up to Summit Plummet at the very top of Mount Gushmore, well, you know, water doesn't go uphill, so you can't do the whole lazy river thing like at Typhoon Lagoon to get there. You got to get up there somehow, and that's a lot of steps. Well, no, don't worry about it. You don't have to walk. They got a chairlift. Or a snow lift in this case.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's really cool. And it runs just like a ski resort, and you hop on the snow lift, the chair lift, and you get to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, and one last thing, by the way. On the ground level, don't forget the two places that I love the most, and those are Frostbite Freddy's bar and the Polar Pub bar. So I figure, you know, like Rian said in the chat room, you know, two pina coladas, one for each hand. Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct. Yeah, I mean, when you're putting up with, you know, 15,000 screaming tweens, the last thing I'm going to do is sober. So.
That's exactly.
I'm just
right.
kidding, but it's a lot of fun.
It is time for our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the mini golf parks and talk about the fact that Glenn hates at least one of them. And
yes,
Amy Sinclair will join us
here
in just a little while to talk about what's in her bag and find out what's in Glenn's bag. That's all coming up next on the show. 407-499-4335 is the number to interact with us next on Main Street Mugs Live.
Main Street Mugs.
Why leave anything on your front lawn, under your porch, on the side of the highway where you can store all that stuff my way down here at Jones Big Truck Rental and Car Storage?
Now, I know y'all got stuff at your house that you don't need no more, you don't want. You know you ain't gonna use that printer. Why keep it all around your house? Bring it down here to my house. You ain't the deuce of hazard. You know you ain't gonna use that ugly yellow luggage. You don't need all this. What you gonna do with this? This is not... What it, in my yard. I don't care. I'll store this motorcycle in that van for you for $10.99 a month. You got old tires. They charge you $3 for that old tire. You can rent a truck. You can store a car. They don't care. Bring it on down here. You ain't got to put that old tire for $3. For you, for $3, they gonna charge you. I do it down here for $1.50 down here at Jones Big Truck Rental and Storage Facility. Now, friends, you may ask yourself, how can he store this stuff for such a cheap price? This in a box. Mark it for you. Put it away, seal it, and store it. And this is a discount sale down here at Jones Big Truck Rental and Car Facility. You got an elephant. I got space. Send me smoke signals, and I'll store anything you want. Go ahead and give me a call or find me on them internets at www.jonesbigtruckrentalandstorage.com. That's Jones Big Truck Rentals and Storage.com. This is a bus. Do you know how big a bus is?
This is weak, man. Frank's trying to not pay me my winnings for the Skins beatdown I just issued him because his 401k is tanking. It's like, dude, you got to grab the reins, man. Get E-Trade, do some analytics, do some research, and take charge so I don't have to subsidize your lack of golfing skills.
But on the night hole, you moved your ball.
Frank, it was on the cart path. Why don't you try reading the rules, Shankopotamus?
Take control with one of the most powerful investing machines there is. Join the 1,000 new accounts a day at E-Trade.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. This is for the house, the car. A regular towel doesn't work wet. This works wet or dry. It holds 20 times its weight in liquid. Cuts the job in half. Doesn't drip. Doesn't make a mess. Wring it out. You wash it in the washing machine. Here's some cola. Wine, coffee, pet stains. Not only is the damage going to be on top, there's your mildew. That is going to smell. Look at this. Put on the spill, turn it over. Without even putting any pressure, 50% of the cola right there. You follow me, camera guy? The other 50%, the color starts to come up. No other towel is going to do that. It acts like a vacuum. And look at this, virtually dry on the bottom. So you're going to spend $20 every month on paper towels anyway. The mini ShamWows are for everyday use.
You'll get 4 ShamWows for $19.95.
If you call now, we'll give you a second set absolutely free. So that's 8 ShamWows for $19.95. Comes with a 10-year warranty. Here's how to order.
To order your scam now, dial 1-800-555-1212.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to FreeCreditReport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in t-shirts.
Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
It's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, what will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
Yee-haw! Hello, everybody. This is Bob Jackson from Walt Disney World's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, and you're listening to the Main Street Mugs. Come on out. We'll be saving you a seat.
Welcome back into Main Street Mugs Live, the second segment of the first hour. Glenn Watts rejoins me. Hello, Mr. Watts.
Hello, Mr. Miller. How are you, sir?
We are doing well. You know, I want to tell you guys, of course, 2 weeks ago now. Wow, it seems like it was just yesterday. Glenn and I were on our research trip, and we have put up some pictures and videos of some of the things that we did on the trip on the website. So scroll on down and check that out. We've got the videos up of the helicopter tour, and we've also got some pictures rotating in a little slideshow called Mugshots. So check that out as well. Glenn, has anybody voted for Critique of the Week yet?
I have not seen a vote yet, so I need you guys to help me out there. So if you guys could go ahead and start voting, that'd be great.
Yeah,
plenty of time, but it gives us a little extra time to get ready.
Vote in the chat room.
We don't know what you guys are going to pick, so we have to, you know.
Something's up with our polling system tonight. So once again, just to run them down, because it's not on the website, let me go back to my notes.
That's fine. I have them if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Some of All Thrills at Epcot, the monorail system, the Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios, the Coral Reef Restaurant at Living Seas at Epcot, and the All-Star Resort Hotels.
So go ahead. I was just going
to
say, just go ahead and type your vote in the chat room, and we'll tally them that way. On the phone, joining us, our favorite travel lady, Miss Amy Sinclair. Hello, Amy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are doing wonderful.
Amy, we're doing great.
And by the way, we haven't had a chance to tell you publicly thank you for such an awesome trip 2 weeks ago. We had a blast.
Flawless. You did great.
Yep. We
are so welcome. And I was a meteorologist.
You sure were.
I have a new service.
Michael, you should tell that story.
Yeah,
Amy,
you know, we
tell the story.
Yeah,
that's,
we didn't.
That's a good one.
We didn't have a chance to talk about that last week. In fact, we didn't even get a chance to talk about the park. We ran out of time. But the last day of the trip, Glenn and I, we changed plans. We were originally going to go to Animal Kingdom, but we were like, you know what? We're in the mood for some adrenaline, so we got to do some Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. So we headed over to Hollywood Studios, and the day started, you know, pretty good weather-wise. And then we decided we were going to we'd already done Tower of Terror. We'd already done Rock and Roller Coaster, which, by the way, Glenn, congratulations on getting on Tower of Terror. You did very well.
Well, it did. You know, the shots before helped, but no, actually, Michael. In Michael's defense, and no, I don't drink that much, but Michael did tell me it wasn't that bad. And I from the outside, I'd always heard the screams, and my wife doesn't do drops or coasters, so yep. I've always kind of shied away from it.
Yep.
But I had a blast, and the theming in there is just fantastic. I mean,
it's amazing.
From the cobwebs to the whole storyline,
and it's only going to get better when they refurb it or add the extra effects here in a few weeks. So, but anyway, so we decided, you know, well, what are we going to do? Because we can't spend the whole day here. But what are we going to do? So we decided we'd go over to Lights, Motors, Action, and it started sprinkling a little bit on our way in, but by the time we got to our seats, the bottom dropped out. And you it's never a good sign when you're walking in and you hear them say, you know, we're at a rain delay and we'll let you know whenever we can restart the show. So I get on the phone with Amy because I can't pull up the radar on my phone. And Amy's husband's a pilot, so she has the direct line to God, I guess, on the weather service. And so, I said, Amy, can you check the radar? And she's like, yeah. So she gets on this special pilot, radar site. And she says, okay, you guys are absolutely getting, hammered right now. It's going to clear out in a second. Then there's going to be a break. Then it's going to start raining again. And she was dead on. It was
really freakishly dead on, by the way. She says it should stop raining now. And it was like all quiet.
I was like,
boom.
How do you do that?
What is she doing? Where is she? And we started looking for Amy.
But unfortunately, we didn't get to see the show. I mean, when we say it was raining hard, it was a downpour to the point where you could see water sheeting and just blowing across the surface. And of course, with a stunt show, you got to have a relatively dry surface, so they couldn't get the show off. But hey, I'd seen it before, not a big loss, but we were, thanks to Amy, we were able to avoid getting rained on for the most part. So you rock, girl.
Yeah, I learned how to read a radar a little bit.
So Amy, we're going to talk about for a few minutes, and of course, feel free to chime in. We're going to talk about mini golf. We talked about the water parks, but there's a couple of other cool things to do. If you've already done the parks or you want something kind of different for a change, and that is Disney has two really, really cool professional mini golf courses, and I've never been to either one of them, so I'm going to kind of have to sit this one out. Glenn, you've played both of them, apparently, right?
I have. I do like one. I have to admit, there's something at Disney World that gets the better of me, and that is let's start with that. So let's get it out of the way.
Sure.
It's the Fantasia. It's definitely Fantasia. The Fantasia Gardens miniature golf, which is just adjacent to the Swan and Dolphin. And it's a beast. If you're not serious about sports, it's fine. But if you're a serious sporting person, this thing will get the better of you. It has actual hazards. I mean, sand traps, water hazards. It's but on a scale of 1 to 10, as far as competitive, I mean, it's if you're a good golfer, maybe you can do this one. But
yeah.
it brought me to my knees in tears.
Wow.
So,
I haven't played mini golf in so long. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s, and I remember back when, they had these really cool mini golf places around here in town. But, it's like, when the mid-90s to the new millennium hit, they just kind of all up and disappeared. And, it's tough to find a mini golf place anymore.
Yeah. But this is definitely, I mean, again, back to the theming, because I'm always theming. And maybe I'd like to ask Amy's input on the Fantasia. What do you think about the theming? I just think it's really cool.
It is really cool. I'm kind of I'm a little competitive when it comes to golf. I'm not golf. I don't golf, but miniature golf. It's the only golf I do. And it's a little difficult for me, but it's amazing. It's the other one, you know, that one, that's a little over the top for me, but it's fantastic. That one's beautiful. I really like that one. It's great. It's one that even when it's cold out, you see people out there. I mean, everybody loves that miniature golf course.
And it's also, I mean, of course, you know, now, of course, it's not going to take the place of a full, you know, 18-hole real golf course, but it's a heck of a lot cheaper than teeing it up on the real golf courses there at Disney.
It is, yes.
Yeah, when you do a package, you actually get a free voucher for it.
Yep.
You know.
Wow, that's great. I did not know that.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So that's Fantasia. And, you know, like you said, I mean, it's not like probably some of the mini golf courses that you've gone to that, you know, have, I mean, I guess all miniature golf courses have the crazy, you know, holes, you know, where, you know, you got, you know, things that loop and you've got, you know, the hills and rocks in the middle of the fairway and all that. But you're talking like real deal hazards. I mean, you know.
That's the Fairway Fantasia. Actually, they have a disclaimer and it says it's for the more serious golfer. It challenges and exaggerated contours, menacing water hazards, and diabolical sand traps. And had I read this information before I went, I don't know if I would have. But it was a lot of fun nonetheless. Fun was had by all. So,
and that's your favorite one. Tell us about the one that I think every time we passed it in the bus on our recent trip, he didn't have kind words to say about it.
I just used a finger. I didn't.
You're number one. I love
you. Yeah, that's what I said. You're number one. No, that's Winter Summerland. That's actually near Blizzard Beach. And it's themed as Santa's permanent off-season retreat. And it's, again, the theming is just, it's like, who comes up with this? Yeah. And the Imagineers have just outdone themselves here with the theming. So Santa, you know, you got the elf-sized courses divided up into 18 holes. And it's just, again, both of these have both, I guess, have 18. But it's really cool, the theming. You've got the place you get snacks and stuff. It's themed like an RV for Santa, and it's got like Santa stickers on the back. It's really, really neat. So, but
why do you hate this one so?
No. That's the one I like. I like Winter Summerland.
Oh,
it's Fantasia. Fantasia is
okay.
The more serious one. That's the near the Swan and Dolphin. I just naturally give them both the number one sign because they've irritated me. But
they have beaten you. They've beaten
me down
you.
Into submission.
Amy, have you ever played the Santa Land course?
I haven't. And, you know, I look at it and I'm amazed that every time I go to Blizzard Beach, the theming and the tiniest details, the skates thrown over, you know, a peg somewhere, just the tiniest things. And I've kind of gone by there and thought, I just want to go to look at all the details, if nothing else. And I haven't gone. It's one of those things that, you know, when you only tend to go three nights at a time, you have a hard time packing it in. But we really do need to get over there because it looks like just such a cool, themed miniature golf place.
Right. And you know, mini golf is the only type of golf that I can really talk about, you know, with any knowledge because we need to do a show about actual golf. But I don't play golf, so I don't know enough to talk about it. But we may need to do a segment, Glenn, about the actual golf links there at Walt Disney World, which are some of the world's best. I mean, these were designed by some of the top golfers, and you know, when we have some people on that actually know about golf, we'll do that.
Well, I'm certainly not your expert there, but I tell you what, I will gladly go to Winter Summerland if you guys want to get together for, you know, for Main Street Mugs Fest 2011.
Let's
get together there and let's do Winter Summerland. Let's not do Fantasia, okay? just out of kindness and respect, please.
Deal. So those are the two mini golf courses. I recommend, you know, that you at least check them out, check both of them out, and decide which one is your favorite. And they're a lot of fun. So we're going to move on because one of the main reasons I had Amy on the show tonight, other than the fact that we just like to talk with her and hang out with her, is, you know, Amy, we're coming up on I guess, you know, technically the busiest time of the year at Walt Disney World, the summertime, and a lot of people are going to be going down there. And, you know, even in the slow time, you see it all. You know, in fact, when you walk to the park, the lines for the people with bags versus the non-baggers, we'll call them, are night and day because most everybody takes a bag of some sort, whether it's a diaper bag or a backpack or, in my case, a fanny pack. Yes, I rocked the fanny pack this time. Don't hate on the fanny pack. It's convenient. What can I say? They take a bag of some sort to the park. And so, you know, it's funny. You can tell a lot about a person if you were to just look in their bag and see what they have, you know, packing, what they're packing in their bag. And so that brought up a fun segment that Glenn and I thought up. And the question simply is, what's in your bag? And Amy and Glenn, you know about this. Amy, you know about this. Here's the rules for this game tonight. Now, you both, I'm sure, as kids, have played the game. I don't even know what the name of the game is, but it's a game you play on long car trips where I think the name of the game is I'm Going on a Trip. You know what I'm talking about? And it's where, you know, each person says, I'm going on a trip and I'm going to take whatever. And you go through the alphabet, and each person has to alternate letters of the alphabet, and they have to name an item they're going to put in their bag, and put in their bag in this case, or take on the trip, that corresponds with the letter that they're assigned. But they also, here's the catch, they also have to remember not only what they're bringing, but what all the other people have said during the course of the game as well. So it kind of gets confusing. It's fun. You'll catch on if you've never done this game before, but it's a game of what's in your bag. So
yeah, and this will be the first time for me playing this game, so I'm ready to go. I'm up
so
for the
Amy,
challenge.
Amy, you automatically have an in there.
Oh, great. Okay.
All right, okay. So Amy, what's in your bag?
Almonds. I always have almonds in the bag.
Almonds.
I'm kind of a house nut, so
okay,
I always
Amy
have
has
almonds.
Amy has almonds in her bag. I have bananas in my bag.
Ooh. I have my camera, of course.
All right. Amy has almonds. I have a banana. And she has her camera. And I have diapers.
What? Well, Glenn, why do you have diapers?
Oh, you said to have fun with this, so I'm just winging it.
Okay, so yeah, I've got almonds. You've got bananas. I've got a camera. And you have diapers. And I have extra clothes.
Very nice extra clothes. Okay, so you got, Amy, you've got in your bag almonds. I've got a banana. You have a camera. I have diapers. You have extra clothes, and I have a flask.
Of course you do.
Of course I do.
Of course you have.
Okay, so I have almonds. You have banana. I have a camera. You have diapers. I have extra clothes. You have a flask. And I have gum, so after you have tequila breath, you can have a stick in my gum.
Okay, very good. Actually, I'm picking
because,
on this game. Yeah, I know.
Because you cannot buy gum in Disney World,
nope.
So you have to bring your own.
Oh, yep. You were right.
That's right.
So Amy has almonds. I have a banana. She has her camera. I have diapers. She has extra clothes. I have a flask, and she has gum. And I have hairspray.
What?
Yeah, right.
For you of those that don't know, he is bald. Okay.
Yeah, completely bald.
I've got the Jean-Luc. I sport the Jean-Luc Picard look. Thank you very much. But yes, I'm, yeah. Go ahead. So,
okay.
What do you have?
I have almonds. You have bananas. I have a camera. You have diapers. I have extra clothes. You have a flask. I have gum. You have hairspray. I have an ice pack.
Ice pack. Very good. All right. So Amy's got almonds. I have bananas. She has a camera. I have diapers. She has extra clothes. This is really getting confusing, by the way. I have a flask. She has gum for my tequila breath. I have hairspray for my Jean-Luc wig. She has, and I just, she has ice packs. And I have a Jack in the Box.
A what?
A Jack in the Box. Can
I ask why?
because it fit in my bag.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
And it's my bag. I'm just kidding.
Okay,
entertainment line.
All right,
gotcha.
All right.
Okay, I have almonds. You have bananas. I have a camera. You have diapers. I have extra clothes. You have a flask. I now know why you need the diapers, because you have the flask.
There you
correct.
Go.
There you
gum.
Go. That's
you're catching on.
I have gum. You have a hairspray. I have an ice pack. You have a Jack in the Box, and I have keys.
You have keys. Very nice.
Yes.
I'm driving you home.
Oh, yes, I need that.
yes,
so,
please.
Amy, you have almonds. I have bananas. You have a camera. I have diapers for, you know, that's the way you get to the attractions faster without having to stop all the time. You have extra clothes. I have a flask. You have gum. I have hairspray. You have an ice pack. I have a Jack in the Box. You have keys. And I'm sporting my lanyard.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
Good one. Okay, I have almonds, you have bananas, I have a camera, you have diapers, I have extra clothes, you have a flask, I have gum, you have hairspray. About now, I need it. I have ice pack, you have a jack in the box, I have keys, you have a lanyard, you're sporting a lanyard, and I have money.
Money.
Money, money, money.
Probably, nice. Depending on what part of the day it is, but I have money.
Right.
Yeah. Nice, nice. Okay, so let me get this straight. Amy, in your pack, you have almonds, I have bananas, you have a camera, I have diapers, you've got extra clothes, I've got a flask, you've got gum, I have hairspray, you have an ice pack, I have a jack in the box, you have keys, I have a lanyard, you have money, and I have napkins.
Ah, napkins. Yeah, no, that's always a handy thing.
I'm always into that hygiene thing. Got to have napkins.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I have almonds, you have a banana, I have a camera, you have diapers, I have extra clothes, you have a flask, I have gum, you have a hairspray, I have an ice pack, you have a jack-in-the-box, I have keys, you have a lanyard, I have money, you have napkins, and I have an old scarf you tie it around your stroller to identify your stroller.
I like that. No, I like that.
That's a good tip.
I like it. Yeah. All right. So in your bag, you have almonds. I have bananas. You have camera. I have diapers. You have extra clothes. I have a flask. You have gum. I have hairspray. You have an ice pack. I have a jack in the box. You have keys and I have a lanyard. You have money and I have napkins, and I'm going to lose this at some point, but you have an old scarf and I have a poncho.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Right.
Oh, man.
Okay. Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. You have almonds. I'm sorry. I have almonds. You have bananas. I have a camera. You have diapers. I have extra clothes. You have a flask. I have gum. You have hairspray. I have an ice pack. You have jack in the box. I have keys. You have a lanyard. I have money. You have napkins. I have an old scarf. You have a poncho. And for some reason, I'm sporting Q-tips. Just in case somebody needs
them. There you go.
Oh, that's good. All right, so you have almonds, I have bananas, you have a camera, I have diapers, you have extra clothes, I have a flask, you have gum, I have hairspray, you have an ice pack, I have a jack-in-the-box, you have keys, I have a lanyard, oh, no, napkins, sorry. See, there I am, boom, right there, busted. Hey, that's better than I thought I would do. So let's start with these.
Keep going.
All right, so you have almonds. Okay, let's start at keys. So you have keys, and I have a lanyard, you have money, I have a poncho. You have an old scarf. OP. Oops, I just messed it up again. Okay, so I'll start at poncho. See, whose idea was this anyhow?
Glenn, did you stop at F? Did you stop at the flask?
I don't know. I think I stopped at the flask again. I told you, I thought I'd be out by G, but all right. So she has an old scarf. I have a poncho. She has Q-tips, and I have, and I'm getting hungry, as you can notice, because I have ranch dressing.
Oh, okay.
And you'll know where I'm going with this at this point.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
It's getting that time of the day where the bag, you got to have something to eat, so.
All right. I have almonds, you have banana, I have a camera, you have diapers, I have extra clothes, you have a flask, I have gum, you have hairspray, I have an ice pack, you have jack in the box, I have keys, you have a lanyard, I have money, you have napkins, I have an old scarf, you have a poncho, I have Q-tips, you have ranch dressing, and I have sunscreen for your hairspray, lady.
Nice. Nice move, Amy. Well played, young lady. All right. So
Circle gets the square.
Wow.
Circle gets the square.
This is like cutthroat game. I don't know what this game is, but it's cutthroat. All right. So, Amy, you have almonds. I have bananas. You have a camera. I have diapers. You have extra clothes. I have a flask. You've got gum. I have hairspray. You've got ice packs. I have Jack in the Box. You have keys. I have a lanyard. You have money. I have napkins. You have an old scarf. I have a poncho. You have Q-tips. I have ranch dressing. You have sunscreen. But what to go with that ranch dressing? A nice, juicy taco. Oh, yeah.
You put ranch dressing on a taco?
I dip everything into
it. You still got the turkey leg.
I put that on everything. Everything gets ranch dressing in my house.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We never said he was normal, folks.
All right. Okay. Taco, tequila. You could have said tequila for the tequila. I have almonds, you have bananas, I have a camera, you have diapers, I have extra clothes, you have a flask, I have gum, you have hairspray, I have an ice pack, you have jack in the box, I have keys. You have a lanyard. I have money. You have napkins. I have an old scarf. You have poncho. I have Q-tips. You have ranch dressing. I have sunscreen. You have a taco. And I have an umbrella.
Oh, nice. All right.
Well played.
Very nice. Okay. So Amy has in her bag almonds. I have bananas. She has a camera. I have diapers. She has extra clothes. I have a flask. Oh, there it is. Hang on. Let me just take a nice, delicious. Oh, okay. Moving on. She has gum. I have hairspray. She has ice packs. I have a Jack in the Box. She has keys. I have a lanyard. She has money. I just have napkins. She has an old scarf. I've got a poncho. She's got Q-tips, and I've got ranch dressing. She's got sunscreen, and I've got a taco. She's got an umbrella, and for dessert, I'm having vanilla pudding.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
What you
I
got,
have
Amy?
Almonds. You have bananas. I have a camera. You have diapers. I have extra clothes. You have a flask. I have gum. You have hairspray. I have an ice pack. You have a Jack in the Box. I have keys. You have a lanyard. I have money. You have napkins. I have an old scarf. You have a poncho. I have Q-tips. You have ranch dressing. I have sunscreen. You have a taco. I have an umbrella. You have vanilla pudding. And I have water to wash down your vanilla pudding, taco-laden, ranch dressing, flask-drinking.
Checkmate. Right. Checkmate, Amy.
Ooh,
checkmate.
So, all right. Shake it off, Glenn. Shake it off. That was just I can handle the body blows. All right. So in Amy's bag, she's starting off the breakfast with a little almond action. I've got bananas. She's got a camera. I've got diapers. She's got extra clothes. I've got a flask. Mm-hmm. Going to take another sip right now. She's got gum. I've got hairspray because I'm perfectly coiffed. She's got an ice pack. I've got a Jack in the Box. She's got keys. I got a lanyard. She's got money, but don't worry. I got napkins. She's got an old scarf, and nothing looks better on me than a poncho than an old scarf. She's got Q-tips. I'm sporting the ranch dressing. She's got the sunscreen because, you know, the sun doesn't shine in North Carolina, apparently. I'm sorry. I've got a taco. She's got an umbrella. I've got vanilla pudding for dessert. She's got water to wash it down, and I'm going to sing her play her a little song on my xylophone. Oh, yeah.
Because you can't think of any other word that rhymes with
Yeah, you try to do that. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All right, Amy. What do you got for me?
Well, I had to think of something else because I had something poncho, and now I have to think of something else. Okay. I have almonds. You have bananas. I have a camera. You have diapers. I have extra clothes. You have a flask. I have gum. You have hairspray. I have ice pack. You have a Jack in the Box. I have keys. You have lanyards. I have money, you have napkins, I have an old scarf, you have poncho, I have Q-tips, you have ranch dressing, I have sunscreen, you have taco, I have an umbrella, you have vanilla pudding, I have water, you have a xylophone, and I have a yellow glow-in-the-dark bracelet so we don't get lost after dark.
Nice. Very, very nice. That's that's so thoughtful because actually after a few flask hits, it's probably a little hard to find my way
that's
out of the park.
True.
But I'm going to bring this home to my favorite little park that's kind of a home away from home. So let's do this. In your bag, you got almonds. I got bananas. You've got a camera. I've got diapers. You got extra clothes. I've got a flask. You've got gum for my flask breath. I have hairspray. You have ice packs. I have a Jack in the Box. You have keys. I have a lanyard. You have money. I have napkins. You have an old scarf. I have a poncho. You have Q-tips. I have ranch dressing. You've got sunscreen. And I'm eating a taco. You have an umbrella where I'm having the vanilla pudding for dessert. You have water to wash it all down. Thank you very much. I have a xylophone. You have a yellow bracelet to find our way home. And I stole a zebra from Animal Kingdom. And it's in my bag.
Give them a round of applause, folks. All right, Amy, run them down.
Oh, my.
Let's do the recap. You're last. What do we have?
Oh, I have to recap it?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, bring it on home, Amy.
Okay, I have almonds, you have bananas, I have a camera, you have diapers, I have an extra clothes, you have a flask, I have gum, you have hairspray, I have an ice pack, you have Jack in the Box, I have keys, you have a lanyard, I have money, you have napkins, I have an old scarf, you have poncho, I have Q-tips, you have ranch dressing, I have sunscreen, you have taco, I have an umbrella, you have vanilla pudding, I have water, you have a xylophone, I have a yellow glow-in-the-dark bracelet. You have stolen a zebra, which we've now put all the bags on because they are too heavy to carry.
Very nice.
Nicely done. Nicely played, Amy. I'm glad we got through that.
And as you can see, folks, Amy, practical. Glenn, not so much.
Not so much.
Amy, thanks for playing. That was a lot of fun. That, you guys, are you tired yet? Are you tired? That was a lot of fun.
I'm mentally exhausted.
Well, you know, perfect.
And by the way, I've been worn out by practicality. I mean, look at her list. She's got a yeah. breakfast. She's got her camera. She's got clothes. She's got gum. Ice packs, because I'll be needing it around noontime. She's got her keys, money, scarf, Q-tip, sunscreen, umbrella, water, and, you know, a yellow, you know, bracelet to get us.
Well, that was supposed to be a yellow poncho, but she.
I know. I figured that.
Hey,
yeah, I'm sorry.
She works good on the fly. Very good. Very nice.
We did good.
Very nice.
So congratulations.
Nice. Well, why don't we take a break so you guys can regain your breath and your composure here. And when we come back, we'll kind of chill out a little bit. We'll talk about feeling good, conservation after the break. 407-499-4335 is the number for you to interact with us. Also, chat it up in the chat room. Continue to put your votes for Critique of the Week in the chat room, because our poll is kind of screwed up tonight. Do that. We'll catch you after the break next on Main Street Mugs Live.
Main Street Mugs.
A lot of people don't realize that change is a two-way street. You can come to us with 16 quarters, 8 dimes, and 4 nickels. We can give you a $5 bill. We can give you 5 singles, or 2 singles, 8 quarters, and 10 dimes. You'd be amazed at the variety of options you have.
I was driving through Pennsylvania on the tollway, and to save time, I was using the exact change lanes. I had just run out of quarters, and I was getting a bit nervous when I spotted a sign for a citywide branch at the next exit. Let me tell you, it's a pretty good feeling.
I have had people come in with wrinkled $10 bills who want new, crisp bills to put in birthday cards. And we can handle special requests like that, usually the same day.
I just returned from a business trip to London, and all the cash I had was a 5-pound note. Citywide wasn't able to convert it to dollars, but they did give me 4 guineas, 2 crowns, 4 shillings, and 10 pence.
All the time our customers ask us, how do you make money doing this? The answer is simple. Volume. That's what we do.
It's Happy Fun Ball!
Yes, it's Happy Fun Ball, the toy sensation that's sweeping the nation. Only $14.95 at participating stores. Get one today.
Warning. Pregnant women, the elderly, and children under 10 should avoid prolonged exposure to Happy Fun Ball. Caution! Happy Fun Ball may suddenly accelerate to dangerous speeds. Happy Fun Ball contains a liquid core, which, if exposed due to rupture, should not be touched, inhaled, or looked at. Do not use Happy Fun Ball on concrete. Discontinue use of Happy Fun Ball if any of the following occurs: itching, vertigo, dizziness, tingling in extremities, loss of balance or coordination, slurred speech, temporary blindness, profuse sweating, or heart palpitations. If Happy Fun Ball begins to smoke, get away immediately. Seek shelter and cover head. Happy Fun Ball may stick to certain types of skin. When not in use, Happy Fun Ball should be returned to its special container and kept under refrigeration. Failure to do so relieves the makers of Happy Fun Ball, Wacky Products Incorporated, and its parent company, Global Chemical Unlimited, of any and all liability. Ingredients of Happy Fun Ball include an unknown glowing substance which fell to Earth, presumably from outer space. Happy Fun Ball has been shipped to our troops in Saudi Arabia and is also being dropped by our warplanes on Iraq. Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball. Happy Fun Ball comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Happy Fun Ball. Accept no substitutes.
I tried online dating, but I never found anyone who liked me for me.
My friends tell me I'm too picky.
I need to find someone who realizes how great I am.
I'm a catch. Women like me. But when I tried other dating services, they could never find anyone good enough for me.
Hi, I'm Dr. Terry McQuarren, founder of MeHarmony.com. When you sign up at MeHarmony, we only ask you questions about your favorite subject, you.
I can't believe how lucky I am. Sandra and I finish each other's thoughts.
And we finish each other's sentences. It's amazing.
He treats me exactly the way I want and deserve to be treated.
I don't know where I end and he starts.
I have never been so attracted to someone on every level.
I didn't think it was possible to find someone who loves me as much as I love me. But I found her. You should see people stare at us when we walk down the street.
They're jealous.
Don't you deserve the perfect match? At MeHarmony, we guarantee you someone who is exactly like you.
Thank you, MeHarmony.
It's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, What will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
Main Street Mugs live back for our number dos for our Spanish-speaking friends. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Glenn Watts.
Good evening. Hey, welcome back. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Amy did great. Yep. Is she still with us?
I don't think so.
Okay. But I'll make this concession speech. Thank you very much for everybody who voted for me, but I just want to say that Amy Sinclair from Ears of Experience did win that contest because I packed the Jack in the Box and the Zebra. And she did not even see my ranch dressing coming, and that was a little out of line, so I apologize to all the viewers.
She's the champion, my friend. That's right.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. So thanks, Amy, for playing along. And if you know, of course, the whole point of that was practical things that you should pack in your bag. And that's things Amy takes along to the park. And Glenn, probably some of those you do actually take to the park, which is
I do. Yeah, you've seen my bag.
Yes,
you know,
I'm
fairly practical.
Right. But yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Guys, once again, tonight the voting a little different. We apologize for that. There's something up with the voting poll system. So the critique of the week votes, you have to vote in the chat room. And right now we've only got one vote, right?
Two votes. Yep. And they're both for the monorail system. So yep. It looks like we're going to take a ride on one of the new Tron themed monorails.
Right. And we'll run down the votes for you again, guys, one more time, because they're not on the site, so you can't see them. The votes, the choices tonight, rather, are Sum of All Thrills at Epcot, the Disney Monorail System, Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios, Coral Reef Restaurant at the Living Seas at Epcot, and Disney's All-Star Resort Hotels. And we'll just kind of lump all of those in together if you'd like to hear us critique those. Once again, just type your vote into the chat room, and we'll tally those up and do that in the next segment, the last segment of the show. But, Glenn, you know, we've got something really cool on the website. We've had it up several weeks, and that is a place where you can get outfitted and get mugged.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, our shirts, they really did come back great. So I encourage you to check out all the garb. Check it out. It's cool. People will recognize you, especially at Epcot. Yep. One of the videos that I really enjoy that we posted at the bottom is the one where it's starting. It's called "They Make It Magical."
Yeah.
If you guys haven't checked that out yet, Michael did a great job. We got some of the cast members on our recent visit to give a shout out, and they were very accommodating. And
yes.
We had a great time talking with those folks, interacting with them in the different countries. So, and what I want to also encourage you guys to do is to call us if you have any questions. You want to make a shout out, 407-499-4335, or type it. Okay, so they're the Mount Amy. I just got a third vote for the monorail. So yeah, yep. I think we're on our way for a monorail ride from the Ticket and Transportation Center.
It seems like that will be the case. But Glenn, you know, we talked at the top of the show about how you are, at least this past week, you've been Mr. Conservation. You saved a baby bird from death, and but you know, you're no comparison to a big company like Disney. And wow, when we started talking about conservation and ways that they, really kind of help the planet out, and of course, this is on the heels of Earth Day, just back on the 22nd, it really got us looking into thinking about, you know, all the stuff Disney does. And their conservation department is a whole, it's a department, that's a whole thing that they do. And you had a chance to really kind of get in there and dig and research. What'd you find out?
I did. Well, let me start on the West Coast, because I really applaud, and again, I'm not a huge Disneyland fan. I do respect the history. However, they've got some really ingenious stuff going on. Let me give you a rundown. The trains And I don't know if they've incorporated this into Walt Disney World. I wasn't able to find this out. But currently, they've converted the trains to run on biodiesel, which is a derivative. What they do is they take the French fry oil and all the cooking oil from the restaurants on property and from the resorts, from the restaurants, and they convert it into a biodiesel. And the steam train actually runs on biodiesel, which is, if you get some French fries in the park, you're actually, you're powering the train system there. So I thought that was really cool.
So what you're trying
to... And also the Mark Twain riverboat there.
So what you're trying to say is that that's really the Smellitzer at work, like, double time.
Yeah,
because
I mean, how many times do I get to encourage people to eat fatty foods?
Yeah,
I mean, come on,
go.
That's
yeah.
That's a bonus.
Right. Yeah.
And their horticultural department, on this goes to both coasts. They have what are called beneficial insects, which I'd never heard the term before. But apparently, you know, they're insects that fend off other insects that will eat the plants and all the foliage. Their irrigation system on the recycling side, we'll get to that in a few minutes, but amazing. The plant recycling, what they do is all the plants that, say, for Flower and Garden Expo, they recycle those. They take them back. They disinfect them, the root systems, and then they replant them. And so everything comes back in. And all the tree cuttings, all the trimmings from everything in the park, that's all recycled into mulch. So I thought there's a couple of things. And here's one more thing that I thought was just because being from the engineering side of the house, three different rides or attractions, the Jungle Cruise, the trams that pick you up in the parking lot, and the rafts are currently running on compressed natural gas. And I wondered where the smell, you remember back in the day, the diesel smell when you were on the tram coming from the parking lot. Well, you no longer experience that because they're running on this CNG, which is compressed natural gas. So I thought it was really cool.
Very cool. Becky in the chat room, Rent, says that they also use fryer oil from Disney Cruise Line in the heavy machinery like tractors on Castaway Cay. Yeah, I'd heard about that. So yeah, they take the oil from the restaurant and use it for the tractors and stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning of what Disney does as a corporation, and especially at Walt Disney World, what they do, because the property is so big. But it's just the tip of the iceberg. So,
yep,
a lot of cool stuff.
Yep. Now, of course, you know, that's more, I guess, along the lines of environmental. Now, they have a whole thing they do with animals, with birds, with things like that. What'd you find out about that aspect of it?
Okay, well, they have a conservation group, and on the Caring for Wildlife, they have what's called the Disney Wildlife Conservation Fund, and that supports scientific research for habitat protection through annual awards. So, say, for instance, not too long ago, they awarded over $1.5 million to nonprofit environmental groups. So this isn't just within the parks. This is worldwide. There were 104 programs in 42 countries that focused on saving animals and habitats. So really cool stuff. I mean, both above ground or above water and below water. They're very interested in both, you know, both aspects. So it's really cool.
Right. And of course, if you've ever been in the park and really paid attention, one thing that you'll notice is that, you know, all the parks are kind of like a natural aviary. You know, birds are welcome. I don't know how they manage to keep bird of prey away, such as, you know, vultures and crow and things like that, but you know, it's like they have all the bad birds and they don't come to the park, but all of the pretty birds do, you know, and they have free reign there.
Yeah, they do. In fact, I've never seen any of the above mentioned, you know, any of the birds of prey. I've never seen a chicken hawk or a vulture or anything like that.
Right, right.
I don't know what exactly they do, but they do something well, whether it's acoustic or whether it's using natural. And normally, it's non. You know, they don't want to hurt the animals.
Sure.
They're kind of like me in that case. So, yeah, I don't know what they do exactly, but we're going to find out. This is an ongoing investigation. I'm really interested in how they sustain their, you know, their environment there.
Right. So, I mean, and not only birds, but I mean, you know, it's nothing to see a squirrel scurry across the path, you know, and they do a great job at making it, you know, friendly for the animals to kind of just live in this natural setting. And if I don't believe in reincarnation, but if I did and I had to come back as an animal, I'd want to come back as one that lived at Disney World. I mean, come on.
Oh, I want to be that mallard over at Epcot. Yeah,
exactly.
You know the one that eats the popcorn all the time? You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's
that
well
guy.
Fed. Yeah, absolutely.
The green and blue one. Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, or he or she. I don't know. Sorry, I don't know bird genders. But yeah, I want to come back as a mallard in Epcot. That's my goal.
Right.
So.
Rince is just full of information tonight. She also typed in the chat room that I'm assuming this is Disney Cruise Line. They also move sea urchins from areas that are heavily populated to other areas around the island that are not as heavily populated and the urchins help keep the water clean. So it's kind of like a natural built-in, you know, skimmer, if you will.
There you go. That's perfect.
That keeps the water clean. Very, very cool. Very cool. What else did you find out, Glenn?
Well, let's go back to the let's start with the actual resorts and the park. Okay, can we kind of go back
sure,
there a little
absolutely.
Bit? Because this is what I think Disney does this really well. All of the waste from the resorts, whether it's in the recycle bins or not, it's hand sorted every day. So
wow.
when you know if you have a you know if you're in the room and don't fret over the fact that you didn't throw it in the green can over the blue can, they actually go through that and they you know they sort it. They make sure that, you know, all the roughage is out, you know, all the metals out, all the plastics out. And I think last year, let's see what the numbers were last year, they recycled more than 18,000 tons of materials at just Walt Disney World Resort. That's just here in Orlando, you know, north, you know, in Orlando. So they also, let's see, you know, some of the prepared foods in the food court goes to the Disney Harvest Food Program, and mm-hmm. that's about 50,000 pounds of edible food each month. That's 50,000 pounds. So,
wow,
you know, 25 tons of edible food every month going to charity for the harvest. That's yes. pretty cool.
That is awesome.
And now something you've noticed, I guess, on our last trip, I've noticed more and more is the fact that they're going from, you know, on the lighting, every incandescent light or fluorescent light is going to, you know, the greener bulbs.
Yep. Yep.
And there are over 176,000 bulbs they've changed out at the resorts.
Wow.
And at the parks. And that saves them about 25% of their annual operating cost on energy. So it's just the simple things like that,
yeah,
like light
yeah.
bulbs. Who knew?
Yeah.
So,
and they've probably replaced, now, you know, I have a theatrical background. I noticed this in the last couple of visits I've been there. A lot of the theatrical lighting that they use for the stage shows, they're converting from the incandescent lighting to the new LED lighting that you're seeing, which, of course, burn cooler, take up less energy, and, you know, also LED lighting and a lot of the accent lighting around the property is now LED.
Yeah. In fact, the Cinderella's Castle at Christmas time, they do the snow covering and the ice covering. And the power that it is used to create that is equal to 12 microwave ovens. So there's like 176,000 lights or something, 200,000 lights. They've changed them out to LEDs instead of, you know, the little standard lights.
Yeah.
And they save 25%. It's just basically you're running 12 microwave ovens to light the entire Cinderella's Castle up.
That's pretty awesome.
That's kind of putting, you know, I want to put the numbers, kind of make it quantify it. So
yeah.
that's where they're at.
Very, very cool. Very cool. What else you got?
All right. So let's talk about water for a second. Here's something that really, you know, I'm being a Floridian, we're always concerned about water because our main, you know, lake down here is Lake Okeechobee. Mm-hmm. And when it runs low, we run low, which go water restrictions and whatever.
Yep.
But they actually reclaim a lot of water at Disney World. At the resorts, 30% of the water used at the resorts is reclaimed. 80% of the agricultural or the, you know, the sprayers at night for the foliage, 80% of that is reclaimed.
Yeah.
And in some of their projects, including we talked about this off air, which is the World of Color at Disney's over in Anaheim.
Yep.
They recycled that water back into the ground, into the table, the water table, and were able to get credit for that. And it was millions of gallons of water. So they, you know, even in doing upgrades, they're thinking about where to put the water while they do the construction. So I think they do a great job.
Well, you know, one thing that's kind of cool, and, you know, this is a whole nother topic for a whole nother show, but, you know, a lot of people don't know, and some of them really don't care, but this kind of stuff interests me. Of course, when you're on Walt Disney World property, you're actually on Reedy Creek property. And Reedy Creek was kind of developed when Walt first, you know, started you know, building there in Orlando. That's basically like the little town that was set up for Disney. I mean, basically, long story short, is Disney basically went to the state and said, we want to be our own self-sustaining town, city. You know, I mean, you hear Walt, you know, talk about Epcot, but you know, on a grander scale, the entire 43 square mile area that Disney encompasses is its own city. It has its own water treatment plant. It has its own power generating facilities. It has its own, waste treatments, everything. So basically, they are self-sustaining. They can generate their own power, water, so on and so forth. Of course, they have their own, fire and rescue service. I think the only thing they do not have are their own police force. They have security. But they still use Orange County Sheriff's
to kind of patrol.
But I mean, my point behind all that is I think in doing that and kind of controlling everything that way, they can be a lot more efficient in the long run.
Yeah. Here's an interesting factoid. Now, I'm always into this facts and figures. But from an infrastructure viewpoint, the Disney World property is equivalent to a city with a population of 300,000 people. Now think about that number. Their footprint there in Central Florida is equivalent to a town of 300,000 with the water, sewer, electrical, and transportation. A city of 300,000. That's pretty amazing. RCID, the Reedy Creek Improvement District, they do a great job. Back to water. I mean, they treatment plant services 15 million gallons a day of water. That's how much water that's they're amazing. Pumping through their facility. Now, let's talk about the waste management. I want to get back to that real quick. Let me give you some facts and figures. Scrap metal alone at the resorts, 1,048 tons a year. Cooking grease, 1.25 million gallons, or sorry, million pounds, 628 tons of cooking grease, and 14 million pounds of cardboard. That's a lot yeah. of stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The great news is we never see that, it just disappears, it magically goes away. But I have to tell you what, to give the cast members and the support cast members a lot of credo, that's just a lot of work, and I really applaud their efforts in making, our experiences is when we're there, seamless. Mm-hmm. We don't see it, we don't know it's there, but right. they do a great job of recycling in the background.
Yep, yeah, absolutely, and that's the thing, folks. I'm not a, that's the cool thing. I'll be perfectly honest with you. It's not that I don't want to be more environmentally conscious. I just, really don't know how. And to be perfectly honest with you, here in our city, at least here, the city where I live, Helena, Alabama, is slowly but surely kind of starting to do the whole recycling thing. You can get a blue can and everything like that. It's not really mainstream here yet. And so it's cool that when I go to Walt Disney World, even if I don't necessarily go out of my way to try to, as you said, put it in the right can or do it, they handle all that for you.
They do it for you. See, that's the great news. So what you need to do is, you, Michael, just need to move to Disney World. That way you wouldn't have to worry about recycling. They'll handle it for you.
I'll do it. Done.
Okay.
I'm there.
Done. All right.
Yep. Cool.
You heard it here live.
What else? Is there anything else you got?
Well, let's move down to, as far as, back to the water. Let me just get away from that for a second and go to some of the outreach, the conservation, as far as communities go. They do some really cool support projects. The cast members, again, the cast members do so much for organizations like the Orange County Public Schools. They work the Disney's Environmentally Challenged encourages Florida students to think about to take action on a local level. So they really reach out here in the state of Florida. They work with the SPCA. They work with the Central Florida Zoo in Orlando. They work with the Audubon Society, as you mentioned, with the birds. Birds of prey. And they really there's a lot of fingers out there. They're really conscientious about their image and they want to help.
Yep.
They know their footprint's big and they want to make it as sustainable as it is. That's all. That's the game. It needs to be sustainable. And
absolutely.
Disney does a great job of year in and year out making sure that their guests don't have to worry about that and that they, as a corporation, are sustaining the environment. So kudos to them.
Yeah, they're always paying it forward, and kind of bringing this full circle. Of course, the big promotion this past year was the Disney Give a Day. Now, granted, it didn't last very long, but think about that. Playing devil's advocate for a minute. Wow. Name any other company that could get 1 million volunteers.
In how many months?
Less than three. Less
there
than
it is.
Three.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the
I mean,
magic
so
number.
So come on. I mean, you know, it's paying it forward, and these guys know what they're doing. So.
Absolutely.
Wow. Now, you know, one last thing. This is a lot. This is kind of funny. You know, whenever you go to a lot of the restaurants, for instance, a lot of the counter service restaurants, a lot of times when you're in line, the hostess at the cash register will ask you if you'd like to make a donation to the Disney Conservation Fund. I forget how much it is. It's a couple of bucks, two or three bucks, something like that. And if you do, you will get to sport around the rest of the day. And I've got one of these. A Disney Conservation Hero pin. You've seen these, right, Glenn?
I have. Yep.
Yep. Yep. So you know what? If you've got a little extra change, you know, for a good cause, for everything Disney does for you, you know, help them out a little bit. I mean, yeah, you spend a lot of money on your vacation, but I mean, you know that it's going to go right back into helping the community. So,
absolutely.
You know, be a Disney Conservation Hero.
Yeah, I mean, save a baby twig, Cokes. You got to do it.
A baby twig. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's just some of the ways, and we've only scratched the surface on the ways that that Disney is into conservation. In fact, we'll try to put a link up on the site to the actual Disney Conservation Report that came from Public Affairs that we've used for a lot of this information tonight. We'll try to put that link up because there's a lot more, right, Glenn?
Oh, absolutely. If all you have to do is Google, you know, Walt Disney World Conservation,
yep.
There's so many links and there's so much material out there, then they're doing so much. We, you know, kudos to them. Big round of applause.
Yep.
Those guys are doing great.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
And they're making, and obviously it's seamless to us because we don't see an impact on park performance, attraction.
Nope.
Nothing. So yep. Awesome.
It's just all part of the magic. It's all part of the magic. It is bottom of the hour. We're going to take our last break of the show. When we come back, it appears as if we're taking a loop on
the
highway in the sky. It's the monorail. It's the Critique of the Week. It's next. Feel free to call in tonight, guys, 407-499-4335. Of course, the chat room is open. It's live. It's hot. It's hot chat tonight in the chat room. Main Street Mugs Live. See you on the other side of the break.
Main Street Mugs. It's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, what will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
Hi, Olympic gold medalist and professional beach volleyball player Misty May Trainer here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, reminding you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have more energy to dig into the things you like to do. Kick the soccer ball around.
Ride your bike.
Or dance in your room.
Get up and play an hour a day, Doc. Check out how to be a player.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
At www.letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Sanger.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit card.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
Start your engine! Hi, this is Eric Darnell.
This is David Reagan.
Jamie McMurray.
This is Carl Edwards here for RED,
the entertainment industry's voice for road safety.
Want to make a difference? It's simple. Be responsible.
Plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate.
Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Attention parents of young children.
The following is a partial list of things that are probably happening in your backseat
that you are completely unaware of.
A food item is probably being stuffed into a crack.
A strange sticky substance is being spread everywhere.
Deep, sustained, nasal exploration.
Someone is probably making faces.
Hitting back.
The cleaning of muddy shoes.
Farting!
Something is probably spilling.
Gum is lodging in hair.
And your kids are probably riding car seats that are being used incorrectly. In fact, 3 out of 4 kids are not as safe as they should be. But the latch system is in most cars and makes it easier to get it right.
Just attach the top tether and the lower anchors.
The ones down near the old sandwich and the melted down crayons.
Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety.
A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Be our guest, put our magic to the test. Bring a heart that's full of wonder and let Disney do the rest. Come to our world.
Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. Call 407-W-DISNEY.
For your next vacation, visit another world. A world that grabs your imagination and never lets go. This is Walt Disney World with Epcot Center. Magnificent resorts. The Magic Kingdom. And the Disney MGM Studios theme park. The Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, the most unbelievable vacation on earth.
Main Street Mugs returns for another 30 minutes or so of the show tonight. Glenn Watts rejoins me, my co-host, my pal, and the Birdman.
Hey, how are you? Ock, ock.
Yeah,
saving the planet one twig at a time.
That's right. 407.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, by the way, you'll have to listen to the intro to the show, so you'll get it. Yeah. But anyways, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, listen to the replay. 407-499-4335 is the number, and you guys can call and interact with us all the way up till the very end of the show tonight. Of course, the chat room is open tonight. And Glenn, are you prepared to do a little roll call for us?
Oh, I'd love to do that for you. All right. So currently we have 6 people. Myself, Donna, you. We have Becky. We have Amy. And some recent visitors. We have the Mouse Expert 2, Disney Fan 2. Tinkate23 and Anonymous8839.
Very cool. Very cool. So welcome everyone.
It's great to have you guys.
That's right. Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. Won't you come inside? It is time to do our critique of the week tonight. And once again, we apologize for some of the technical difficulties with the chat, or excuse me, with the poll feature tonight. But you guys did vote, and I believe the winner by leaps and bounds, 100% of the vote almost, was the monorail system.
It was the monorail system.
That's right. So
my childhood favorite, by the way, and yep. I just love it. Well, you saw, Michael, you saw how my eyes lighted up when the monorail came by, especially at Epcot, yep. in the new Tron colors, and it's just fantastic.
Which, by the way, you know, speaking of that, there's been mixed reviews on the whole the Tronorail, as they call it. You know, I like it. It's very cool. I will say this. I think I do like the blue one better than the yellow one. The yellow one is a little whatever. You know, but the blue one, the wrap, the graphics that they did on that thing, really, really cool.
And especially with the light cycles. If you're familiar with the Tron, the original movie back in the 80s, the Tron light cycle is, and in the video game, by the way, there was an arcade back in the day when there were arcades. Yes, I am that old, Michael.
I used to go to the arcade too.
Yeah, okay.
I was a pinball hero.
But yeah, the light cycle from Tron is just an amazing thing,
and very cool.
To see that is pretty cool. So
So the monorail, they call it the highway in the sky. You know, it's more than just a way to get around between the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. It's really more than that. You know, it's first off, Walt envisioned it. That was part of Walt's plan. And of course, you got monorails in Disneyland. It made the trip over to Disney World, and you know, just an amazing thing. And I believe I'm right, Glenn. Disney's monorails were the first monorails ever, even before the little monorails that you have at the airports and things like that. Correct?
That is correct. Yep.
So they pioneered the technology, and
they did.
Everybody else just kind of copied them along the
way. They did. Yeah. You know? I mean, well, of course. I mean, Walt Disney was, you know, a pioneer in a number of you know, regions.
Sure.
And one of them is, you know, besides the animatronics, was the use of the monorail system.
Yep.
And the electric coil and, you know, the energy used to propel it. Yeah.
Right,
he was way ahead of his time.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, I know it's been the topic of, I mean, we really can't talk about this without mentioning, the accident a little while ago. But you know, once again, kind of just bringing the whole accident thing. And once again, we don't really like to go there, because I will go on record as saying, I think Disney does a superior job at safety, considering the amount of people that they put through there during on a day. And you know, that's probably the accident that happened was probably the worst that's ever happened. And, let's see, those things have been in operation since when? 1971.
October 1st, it opened the day the park opened. Now, here's the thing about it. I mean, considering the fact that, and I'm gonna agree with you 100%. Considering that Disney moves 250,000 people a day on their transportation system, it's unavoidable to have an accident once in a while, unfortunately.
Sure.
So,
sure.
But the good news, you know, for us is now. I want to do an impromptu poll, by the way. I know we have just like 20 minutes left, but guys in the chat room, I'd like to read off the colors of the different monorails.
Ooh,
and I want to know what's the most popular with you guys. So here they come. Ready?
Yep.
We've got the red. We've got the orange. We've got gold, yellow, teal, coral, lime, green, blue, silver, and black. So if we could do that, I want to make this really interactive. Let me read them real quick. Red, coral, orange, gold, yellow, teal, lime, green, blue, silver, black. And if you want to, you can vote for the Tron.
Okay.
And that's just a wrap, by the way. That's temporary. It will come. The wraps will come off those.
Yeah, Amy's vote is in. She says black with red stripe.
Oh, see, Amy, we're kindred spirits.
Yep.
Perfect.
I
really think it's really racy.
Make that three votes. I like that one, too. That's my fave.
Okay, yep. So we got black three. All right, we're good.
Yep.
Keep them coming.
Vote in the chat room or call in 407-499-4335. Tell us your memories, your likes, your dislikes, or whatever of the monorail. Donna said she even likes the smell.
They do have an interesting smell.
They really do.
It's a mix between new car and plastic and rubber and
smelly old people.
No, well, I'm going to leave that out. But my most favorite, I was able to ride in Band-Aids. That's funny. That's Don in the chat room. But I hold one of my cherished possessions is a monorail's driver's license. Back in the late 90s, when you were able to ride up front with the pilot, I got my own. Glenn Watts is a monorail license, or he's got his license. So it's really cool. The riding up front. Now, maybe they'll bring that back. I hope they do. I hope they do, too.
That's a lot of fun. And, you know, and that's, you know, we've talked about undiscovered things. I mean, I think it's probably more known than it used to be, but it's still, you know, not a lot of people know that you can do it. And back when it existed, it was as simple as just asking. And as long as they had room, and it's a first come, first serve kind of thing, but as long as they had room, you could sit up front with the pilot, and that was a lot of fun because it's amazing how they operate those things. It's really cool. I mean, it looks like the command center of like the Star Trek or something in there. It's really cool.
Yeah, of course. And there's that the only Spanish, you know, the old adage is the only Spanish I know is por favor, you know, mantengas alejadas de las puertas, and then you know, keep your hands and feet in the vehicle at all times.
Right.
Now, it's funny from a South Floridian because we hear Spanish all the time, but yeah, that's pretty much the only Spanish I know, and I'm sticking to that story.
Yeah.
So
there you go. So you know, one thing that I ask myself every time I go, I even asked you, and I don't know that anybody really has a definitive answer, is why did they stop at Epcot? why didn't they take it to the other two properties? Anybody have an idea?
I can give you my idea. I would love to have the monorail run to every resort.
Oh, I would too.
From Absolutely. A cost perspective, though, it's not efficient. But you've got 12, you know, you've got the 12 trains, and and Becky agrees with us in the chat room. Too much money to build.
Yeah,
you're right.
However, I mean, I agree with that. But I mean,
I would love to see it. Yeah. Back a few shows ago, we talked about what would you do? And one of my things was I would have the monorail go to my front door. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
I would. Right. You know, currently, I mean, they've got three different lines and there are six stations.
Yep.
Most of which are obviously from the TTC over, you know, to the Magic Kingdom with the deluxe resorts. However, they've also got the Epcot line, which runs out. And, I got to encourage everyone who goes there to take the Epcot loop. If you're at the TTC, take the Epcot line. You don't have to go to Epcot. You don't have to have a ticket. Nope. Just take the ride.
That's
the
right.
ride is what it's all about. And listen to there's in the background, they're telling you about where you are currently.
Right.
And it's just a lot of fun. I enjoy it. And by the way, again, I'm always looking for a place to get out of the heat. It's one of the best heat beaters I've ever seen because you can get in it and it's always air conditioned. There's been maybe two times in my lifetime that the air conditioning has failed. So
it's a relaxing ride. It really is. Maybe not as relaxing as the TTA, but a close second. It's a really relaxing ride, and I totally agree. And I've been guilty of this, and this is how you know you're a hardcore Disney person. Is that I've done the loop when I really didn't even need to. You know, I wasn't necessarily needing to go anywhere on the monorail. I just liked to ride it.
Yeah. And here's another little factoid: 150,000 people ride it daily. That's a lot.
How many? Say that again.
150,000.
Wow. But yeah. For that amount of people that they put through, it moves really quickly. The lines usually move really, really quickly. So now let's talk about, because, you know, even I, as I guess I would call myself a Disney veteran, let's talk about all of the different stations and all the different places at which you can get on the monorail, because some people may not know, you know, all the places you can catch it.
Okay. There are three places you can catch it. I'm sorry. The places you can catch it as far as stops goes.
Okay.
So we can catch it at the TTC, which is the Transportation and Ticket Center.
Right.
You can catch it at the Contemporary, the Polynesian, mm-hmm. the Grand Floridian, then also at Epcot. Now, there's three different tracks: the Express that runs between the TTC and Magic Kingdom. There's a resort that runs the loop all around the resorts, which right. are, you know, the Polynesian, the Grand, and the Contemporary, which, by the way, Contemporary, we're going to have to get back to that because that's a really cool experience to go through the middle of a building.
Yeah, that is cool.
And the third one is the Epcot line. So those are the three.
Right.
And there's a spur track that takes it to service, but that's not really a line per
right.
se,
right.
not for customers.
You know, the thing I like about it is that as many times as I've been to Disney, I still get confused about the whole bus line. You know, I mean, I'm still having to rely on the LED boards, you know, and even the little handy dandy bus stop, you know, cheater sheet that they have. That's the beautiful thing about the monorail. It's pretty much foolproof. You know what I mean? It's easy to keep up with. You know, it's a straight shot. You know, you get on, it's going to go to exactly, you know, one stop to where it needs to go. You don't have to worry about getting off and catching this bus to go to here and yada yada, and just a much simpler form of transportation.
Yeah. And the great news, I mean, here's the thing about, let's go back into the numbers here, the beams. Okay, when we were on our last trip, I mentioned that they've begun a cleanup of the beams because some of them are looking a little, obviously they're out in the sun and the yep. rain every day. They're starting to clean those up and they're looking great. We
yep,
noticed
they
that
really
over at Epcot
are.
Where one beam had been cleaned and one hadn't. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing what they're doing. But as far as, let's go to the specifications. So.
Okay.
365 people, 364 actually, passengers on each train. And you may think that's, you know, a light number, but considering that you've got 813 horsepower motors, and the system is 600 volts, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's moving people, like you said, it's, you know, it's always rotating. It's kind of like the train system where yeah. you don't have to wait long.
No, not at all.
I mean, what's the longest you've waited for one? I mean, maybe 10 minutes?
10 minutes, maybe. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so that's, and, cool. and that's usually at park closing, you know, which, I mean, everybody's trying to get home at that point. But, yeah, you're exactly right. Now, do you have in your specifications, what is top speed on one of these?
14 miles an hour, just under 15. It's 14 point some odd. It's 14.6, but it's just under 15 miles an hour. But if when you're on it, you feel like you're going 50.
You really do.
It's the perspective. You know what I mean? The trees are coming by. I was mentioning this off air the other day, and I wanted to mention on air, is that while you're on board, especially on the Epcot Spur, when you're going from Magic Kingdom to Epcot, TTC to Epcot, take a look around because you're going to see a lot of wildlife. And that goes back to the conservation thing we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. You're going to see deer. You're going to see boar. You're going to see a lot of indigenous creatures here in Florida from the air because you're 18 feet in the air.
Right.
And the vista is great. So, you know, take a few minutes to look out the window and appreciate, A, the technology you're on board with, and B, the beauty of Florida. Because I'm always, I love our state and it's just amazing from there to look down and see wild deer and what Disney's done to protect the area. And you just seamlessly fly right over the top of them and they don't even look up at you.
You know, when we were talking about conservation and being green and environmentally friendly, it doesn't get much more environmentally friendly than this because, of course, it uses no emissions. It's all electric. It's the future. It's been the future since they arrived in Disneyland, it's amazing. I think Walt would be proud. I really do.
Oh, I think, there's a bunch of videos on YouTube and I get caught up. I have my favorites and I've always bookmarked, especially the monorails, the front, hearing the captain's voice and I know it's a looped, audio, but it's really cool to listen to that. Even when you're having a bad day and you just want to take a ride, get on the monorail. Go to YouTube or maybe we should put a link up.
Yeah, let's do that.
There's a number of video and audio out there that just help you relax. It's welcome aboard, and then it will tell you where they're taking you, and it's really nice.
And Glenn,
it's
not enough for you to just enjoy the monorail at the park. You actually brought it home. You actually brought it home with you.
I did. One of the really...
I love that.
Oh, you had to bring that up, didn't you?
I love that.
I bought a monorail silver on one of my trips back in 09, and I love that thing. Actually, the funny thing is, it's for kids, okay? However, it's not... I'm a big kid, and we tried to put it on the dining room table, but it's too big. The oval is actually too big.
Wow.
And they sell an Epcot ball. Don't want to call it the ball. They sell Spaceship Earth. They sell a station for Cinderella's Castle. They sell a Contemporary. And I think they also sell a Grand Floridian version.
And a Polynesian.
And a Poly.
And a TCC. they sell the TTC as well. I've seen videos of people that, obviously have more money than they know what to do with, that have the entire setup. And wow. Wow.
Yeah, I actually put it under my Christmas tree this year, and
did
it was
you?
Really cool. Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was nice. Cool. It looked a little weird, because it was it's so big.
Yeah.
But they got replacement tracks out there, and yes, I did buy one, and it's awesome. And it actually, if you hit, there's a button on it with audio. It does the monorail audio version. So
cool.
I encourage you. It's the best $82 that you've ever spent in your life.
Yeah. So if you want to bring the monorail home with you, do it. Absolutely.
Bring it. Just take it. It's most of the resorts have them. I know that. You can have it shipped home for free if you buy it on property. So do that.
Becky made a comment in the chat room. She said that she wishes that they would do a monorail tour, much like the behind the steam trains tour that you can do at the Magic Kingdom. I agree. I think people would kind of like to see, the roundhouse, if you will, where they work and service the monorails. That'd be kind of cool.
Oh, I think that'd be great.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea, Becky. Write them and tell them that. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Very cool. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we should let our folks know from the communication department that would be. I think there's a lot of guys out there and girls that would like to see the behind the.
Yep.
What would we call that? Let's just. That's our question of the week.
That's a good idea. Now,
Becky, that's on you. What would you call your tour of the monorail behind the scenes?
Yeah. Now we talked about the changing of the Tron line and like I said that gets mixed reviews. But I've even heard. There are some absolute purists in the group, and I know people kind of got bent out of shape when they started putting the balloons and some of the different. graphics and things that they do now to kind of help market. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you know, I think Disney needs to use within reason every reasonable space that they can to tell you about what they're up to. So as long as it doesn't take away from the attraction or the ride, or in this case the monorail, that I think the little balloons on the side, I think that's cool. But what I was going to ask, Disneyland kind of, gave their monorail line an upgrade about a year or so ago, and man, they look really sleek. They look like something straight out of Star Trek. Do you hope that the ones at Disney World stay the same, Glenn, or would you like to, do you think that they're kind of overdue for a little bit of an upgrade?
I'm going to be a stick in the mud. I like things the way they are. I really do. I think they're really cool with the double headlights and, the dark cockpit windows and the tinted windows, even with the balloons, the Celebrate balloons, from the inside, they're corrugated, so you can see through them. So I like them just the way they are. If they want to do a different version of the, I think currently they're running the Mark 6 version.
Right.
If they want to upgrade to something different, I wouldn't. I'd like to see a prototype, but I kind of like the way it is. But I nothing against the West Coast. I like things the way they are, and I think we have a great line of monorails.
Right. Totally handicap accessible. If that's an issue for anyone in your party, you can get on it with the ECVs. You can get on it with the wheelchairs. So totally handicap accessible. And once again, more than just a mode of transportation, it's really an experience. It is I will go on record as saying I don't think you can say you've been to Disney World unless you take a spin on the monorail. So I say absolutely do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the other news, and we were talking about Reedy Creek Improvement District. One of the things that they came up with is a emergency evacuation system for the monorails. It's specifically designed for the monorails from Reedy Creek.
Wow.
And it's a little platform that goes up and it couples with the doors of the monorail and allows passengers to be disembarked if they're in an emergency situation, if it stops for some reason. So Reedy Creek does a great job, and that is Disney, by the way.
Yep.
So, yeah, they have an all-wheel drive truck that's specifically designed to get you guys, off of the monorail safely.
Yeah. Yep. And, of course, that's one of those things where you pray you never have to use it, but you're glad it's there.
Sometimes you're going to – obviously, in transit, there are stopping points where they're like, okay, because they have to pace the train in front or whatever. But – and that segues into what I was talking about with the contemporary. What a vista, by the way. If none of you, I'm sure everyone in our audience has done this, but to ride from the TTC or from Disney World over to or from the contemporary, wow, what a vista.
You
ride right into a building. I just want to mention that because I know it's a little off subject right this second, but it's pretty cool to ride inside of a building.
Yeah.
I mean, you just drive right in like Grand Central Station.
That is very cool. You're waving at the people below and the people at Chef Mickey's and the California Grill. They're waving back at you. And, I think sometimes when you're at Disney, especially you kind of start, it's like reality goes out the window, and you kind of start taking things as the norm. But, once again, you go, I'm riding through a building.
That's normal. Bob Hope was at the opening of that facility.
Yeah.
And every time I ride in there, I think of Bob Hope, and I look down to my left, and there was the stage where Bob Hope did his introduction back in, like, 1972. And it's really cool. And the mosaic there, obviously, with the tiles, it's a great vista.
Yep, absolutely. So, once again, monorail. You can't call yourself a Disney fan. I'm just going to say it. You can't.
Just do it. Just do it.
You can't call yourself
now
a Disney fan, and you. I don't think you can say you've done Disney until you've done the monorail. So, that is our critique of the week, and that brings the show to a close. It's been a fun show, Glenn. This was a lot of fun.
Great job, young man. Yeah. Great job.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for everybody for listening, by the way.
Absolutely. You can catch us. We're all over the place, but of course, the home for Main Street Mugs is the website, Main Street Mugs Live. blogspot.com. As we said, we got some new videos, some new pictures up there, so check that out during the week. You can also catch us on Facebook. Just look for our Facebook group, our Facebook page, and you can interact with us there. Of course, all the shows are downloadable via iTunes. Just look for the iTunes button there on the website. For Glenn Watts, I am Mike Miller saying have a great rest of your week. God bless, and we'll see you next Tuesday night, because if it's Tuesday night, it's Main Street Mugs. Good night.